Wednesday, April 4th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. That's right, the Mile High City. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports. We try to bring you a common sense approach to the world of sports, and we are very, very happy to have you here with us today. Happy Wednesday to you. You know, I am actually back to work this week after being off for spring break last week. And let me just ask you this. Why am I already feeling like I got hit by a truck? I realize that this is kind of a first world problem, but like I'm all tired out after 2 days of work, basically because I spent last week barely lifting my head up just long enough to reach a straw while I was out on vacation. But man, it just leaves you fast, doesn't it? It's like working out. Like personally, I try to run a few times a week. I run 2-3 months in a row, running every day, everything's going well. Miss like 2 or 3 days and watch how that next workout is. It is just pure torture. Everything in your body hurts. Like this week, I'm coming back to work. Like I'm struggling this week. Bodies at rest really do tend to stay at rest, don't they? Man, how did I get that bad that fast? I don't understand it, but it doesn't take long. Hey, if you'd like to let us know how you might be struggling to get through your work week, we can be a sympathetic shoulder for you to cry on. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And you know, unlike actually Facebook, we won't be trying to collect all of your personal information. So if you just want to go to Facebook, you want to follow the Daily Dose, see, we won't be doing the stuff that, you know, Facebook's kind of doing. We know what they were doing. Oh, you want to see your ex's new boyfriend or girlfriend? Yeah, just enter your social security number. We'll let you see their vacation pics from Cabo. Yeah, we don't do that. If you follow us over on Facebook or Twitter, we'll send out links to the show, maybe a random thought here or there, but nothing horrifying like what was going on over there, it sounds like. Hey, today on the show, we do have a number of things for you here on the Dose today. We've got a few stories coming out in the world of breaking news we want to discuss. Plus, we need to hand out a few college basketball awards as the college basketball season is now complete. And as we do on most Wednesdays, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
You never know what we might be ranking today, so you got to be sure that you stick around for those. Hey, I told you it was coming. Facing an extension of the temporary suspension he is already under from the Nevada State Athletic Commission because of not one, but two doping violations, yes, Canelo Alvarez has withdrawn from his highly anticipated rematch with unified middleweight world champion Gennady Golovkin. Ugh, I'm not happy about this. Of course, Alvarez and Golovkin were scheduled to meet again on May 5th in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena in a rematch of that controversial fight that they had last fall back in September that everyone knew Golovkin won and somehow Golovkin didn't win. Now, Alvarez, we've already talked about it, twice tested positive for the banned performance-enhancing drug clenbuterol in random urine tests that were conducted by the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association back in his hometown. Here is what Golden Boy Promotions president Eric Gomez said. We're going to have to cancel the May 5th rematch, he said, Tuesday from his downtown office in Los Angeles. As you know, there is a hearing on April 18th, and it's extremely unlikely that this will get resolved by then properly, and we need enough time to promote this fight. Yeah, that's the only thing holding this thing up, is the promotional work. That's why this fight's getting canceled. Now, Canelo Alvarez says he is a clean fighter, but that he is ready to take his punishment from the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Wait a second. Didn't you kind of just contradict yourself there? I'm a clean fighter, but I'm ready to take my punishment. This sounds familiar. Where have I heard this before? Oh, that's right. That's right. This sounds a lot like the New England Patriots. We did nothing wrong, but yes, we'll go ahead and pay $1 million fine and give up a few draft picks. Wait, what? This tells me the exact same thing about Canelo that it told me about the Patriots. Because Canelo right here is like pulling a Bill Belichick. Yeah, I will go ahead and take my suspension even though I did nothing wrong, because I am just hoping you don't find out what I'm really doing, because if you knew the stuff I was really doing, I would never get reinstated. Oh my goodness. So bad. And then to have the gall to sit there and say, I'm a clean fighter. Are you though? Because you're getting suspended for something. Golovkin, meanwhile, says he is still ready to fight on May 5th and he wants someone to step up and give him a quality fight. You know, honestly, this is too bad. It really is. It's too bad for Gennady Golovkin, a guy who won the last fight, a guy who is ready to fight this time. He hasn't failed any tests. He hasn't apparently eaten any tainted meat. This is too bad for boxing. The sport has enough bad publicity every single time it hosts a big fight. We don't need this too. This is too bad for fight fans. The one single entity that is always getting screwed by tuning into this garbage. Once again, boxing just manages again and again and again to look like a filthy dumpster fire. Well done, boxing. You've done it again. Speaking of those New England Patriots, they pulled the trigger on another deal yesterday. The New England Patriots are trading wide receiver Brandon Cooks and a fourth round pick to the Los Angeles Rams for the 23rd overall pick in this year's NFL draft, as well as a sixth round pick. Now, what people are wondering is, are the Patriots trying to gear themselves up to trade up even higher into the first round and grab who knows? You know, I'm looking at New England, though, and I'm just saying, hey, they haven't had a great offseason. I'm looking at this move. You've lost Brandon Cooks. You've lost Nate Solder. You've lost Danny Amendola. You've lost Malcolm Butler. This isn't a move of luxury. This feels almost like a move of necessity. The Patriots need some more players. Maybe trading Brandon Cooks puts them in a position to get a few more players in the draft. But that is yet another player that they are losing off of a roster that did just go to the Super Bowl. Going to be really, really fun to keep an eye on the New England Patriots franchise as we go forward, because I don't think they've had the best offseason. A little more breaking news coming out here. It seems that Dallas Mavericks center Nerlens Noel and Utah Jazz forward Thabo Sefolosha have been suspended 5 games each without pay. Wait for it. For violating the league's anti-drug program, the NBA announced yesterday. The program states that players are suspended 5 games after a third positive test for marijuana.
What?
Noel's ban began last night, and it will basically end his season. Meanwhile, Sefolosha has been out since January after having knee surgery, so he'll have to serve his suspension whenever he is physically able to play. But here is the question that I guess I have. Who in the NBA gets suspended for marijuana? I've never even heard of this. I didn't even know they tested for marijuana. Is this new? When did this come out? We have guys taking bong rips in the locker room at halftime. I've never once heard about a pot suspension in the NBA. Which makes me then wonder this question. How much were these two idiots actually smoking? And no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the, hey, well, it's actually legal in a lot of states. I don't care. I don't care if it's legal in a lot of states. I live in Colorado. It's legal here. You know where it's not legal? At most every person's job. Is it legal at your job right now? Nope. Me either. And you know what? Theirs either. It's not legal in the NBA. So you can sit there and say, well, it should be legal. Hey, your job says it's not legal. The police aren't going to come arrest you, but you could get in trouble from your job. Agree or disagree, they know the rule, but man, that sounds like they were smoking an inordinate amount of weed, because I've never even heard of a pot suspension taking place in the NBA. I didn't know there was a rule. Maybe that's what they're going to say. They didn't know there was a rule. Like, were they getting high with Nate Newton? How much were they smoking?
Hey, you want to get high, man?
I had no idea. Who knew? Now, here's a little bit of encouragement, though. Nerlens Noel, Thabo Sefolosha, here is a little bit of encouragement that I have for you. Because I know those two guys, they're probably feeling mostly numb. But if they're feeling any sort of thing, they're probably feeling a little bit disappointed. Maybe they let their families down. Maybe they let their friends down. Maybe they let themselves down. Maybe they let their team down, whatever it might be. Little bit of encouragement for them. Just right off the top of my head. You're suspended for a few games. One of you's hurt. One of you is basically done for the season. Little encouragement for you. You're going to be off for 420.
Yeah.
Hey, you two can get together and just, I don't know, have a little talk about it. See how each one of you managed to somehow get suspended by a league that I didn't even know had a marijuana policy. Who knew? Okay, coming back, the college basketball season is now complete. And like we do at the end of most seasons, we are going to hand out a few awards. Who is going to win our Daily Dose Most Outstanding Player? Who's going to win our Daily Dose Coach of the Year? What about the Duke Award or the Arizona Award? Might not have heard of those, but we have a few awards to hand out when we get back. So the college basketball season is now complete. And you know, for all of the craziness and for all of the scandal that we hear about, we saw some really good stuff this basketball season. The Villanova Wildcats, of course, win the championship, but it was a highly entertaining tournament. Some talented young basketball players out there. The majority of the coaches coaching in college basketball, they are doing things the right way. Yes, there are a couple guys that seem to be bending some rules, and there are a couple guys getting involved in some things that they shouldn't. And well, we know one guy back at Louisville that no longer has a job, but overall, most of the coaches, they're doing things the right way. It was a fun season of college hoops, despite some of that stuff that is happening off the court. And I realize, I understand, there are some problems in college hoops. There are also some really great programs. There are also some really great people, some really great players, some really great coaches involved in college basketball. So today, on the Daily Dose, we are going to hand out our Daily Dose College Basketball Awards. First award we're going to hand out, of course, has to go to our most outstanding player. Hey, number of great players this year. Number of great players that we could give this award to, but I've got to give this award to Villanova guard Jalen Brunson. And I understand he didn't have a great championship game. You could tell, we talked about it yesterday a little bit, it looked like he was pressing. It looked like he was trying to win the championship, like on every single play, pushed a little too much. But when you look at Jalen Brunson overall, this kid represents everything you want in a, okay, I'm going to use a term that's going to make some people cringe, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jalen Brunson represents everything you want in a student athlete. I know, I said it. I know, not supposed to use that word these days. Seems to be a banned word. But what else would you call Jalen Brunson? He's a phenomenal player. He gets by more on his smarts and like his savvy than on his size or on his speed. Jalen Brunson plays old school fundamental basketball. He's a very smart defender. He's a very good passer. He's an excellent leader. He's always in control. He makes his teammates around him better. You can see that. He brings a level of toughness that honestly, you just can't teach. He's just that way. Oh, and the whole student athlete thing. Yeah, by the way, Jalen Brunson is graduating in 3 years from a private Catholic Division I school. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Jalen Brunson, he's our most outstanding player. Coach of the Year. Hey, we could easily give our Coach of the Year to Villanova's Jay Wright. What a job he has done. And the atmosphere that he has created at Villanova, don't forget, it was just a few years ago. Villanova was known for being that school that never could get it done. He's now gotten it done twice in 3 years. Jay Wright has completely transformed Villanova. We could easily give it to Jay Wright. We could give it to John Beilein. I mean, John Beilein had a Michigan team that I don't know that anyone really looked at them and saw national title contender. Had them in the national title game. Both of those guys have created winning atmospheres at their respective schools. But I got to give it to somebody else because Porter Mosier at Loyola Chicago led his team clear to the Final Four by running a system that is based on toughness and discipline. You know, Loyola, they kind of lulled you to sleep. They would grind teams down with tough defense and constant movement on offense. And so you look at that and you might think, well, that's a great formula. But do you know how tough it is to get kids to play into that system? To get kids to buy into that system? That system doesn't create big numbers. That system doesn't create superstars. That system doesn't create NBA scouts coming to every single game. But Porter Moser got his kids to run it at a very, very high level. And it kind of looks like Loyola's not going away. They're going to lose a few seniors, but a number of those kids are going to be back next year. Now, we're going to have to see if they can keep Moser when the bigger schools come calling. And you know they're going to come calling. But I've got to give it to him. Who had Loyola Chicago going clear to the Final Four? I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff. Got to give it to him. Best game of the tournament. I struggled with this one a little bit. You know, I think of the Duke-Kansas game. I think that could definitely be in there. I think of that Nevada-Loyola game. That would be one on my list. But the one that I would probably give it to, I would have to give this to the Michigan win over Houston in the second round of the tournament. Remember that that game was tight the entire way, just back and forth and back and forth. No team was able to pull away at all. Maybe like a 6-point lead at maybe the most. But late in the game, it was Houston that held a 2-point lead and was shooting two free throws that could seal the game with just seconds remaining. Unfortunately for Houston, Devin Davis missed both shots, and Michigan threw up an absolute prayer at the buzzer, and that prayer was answered.
He rifles it right in front of us to Abdul-Rahman at midcourt. Extra pass. And it goes for the win! The three-pointer by Jordan Poole! A freshman has won it for the Wolverines!
And that same Michigan squad survives to go on to the national championship game. That game definitely stands out to me in this tournament. We'll give that award for best tournament game to Houston versus Michigan. Next award up, we've got to hand out our Arizona award. Now, we named this award the Arizona Award a few seasons ago. It is always given to the team that underachieves the most in the tournament. I know. Kind of a wacky coincidence, right? Because it could easily go to its namesake, like it usually does every single year, as we saw good old Arizona get beat by Buffalo in the first round, win out early like they usually do. Hey, it's why we call it the Arizona Award, right? We could easily give it to Arizona, but we can't do it this year.
What?
I know. I'm a little bit surprised myself, but we have to give the Arizona Award this year to the University of Virginia, the first number one seed to actually lose to a 16 seed in the history of the first round of the tournament. It is the very first time that a 16 seed has ever won a real game in this tournament. Virginia wasn't just a one seed. They were the number one team in the country for a lot of the year. We have to give the Arizona Award to Virginia. Next award up, we have our Anderson Hunt Award. You know, every single season, we give this award to the player that just has an amazing tournament, plays really, really well, and we're probably never going to hear from again. Now, we could easily give this to Villanova's Dante DiVincenzo, but here's the thing. I think we're going to hear from him again. I think he could eventually be in the league. I don't know if he's going to be a great player or not. I don't have any idea, but I do think this. I do think that he could conceivably win a dunk contest as the next white guy to win a dunk contest eventually someday. So I'm going to not give it to him. I understand it, but we're not going to give it to him. Instead, and it might not be very popular, I am going to give our Anderson Hunt Award to Kansas guard Malik Newman. And please don't misunderstand. I like Malik Newman. Hey, I liked Anderson Hunt when he was back at UNLV. I liked him too, but I don't see a 6'3 shooting guard getting like 20 shots a game too much longer, at least not past his time at Kansas. He might be able to do that at Kansas. Dude is absolutely fearless, but I'm not sure that's going to work at the next level. So we're going to go ahead and give our Anderson Hunt Award to Malik Newman at Kansas. Next award up, we've got to give out our Duke Award. Now, we hand out the Duke Award to the most hated white guy in college basketball every year. Former winners. I'm trying to think of some former winners that we've had. Former winners we have had, last year, our Duke Award winner was, well, of course, Grayson Allen. You know, tripping people, being a jerk, you know, that kind of stuff. Let's see, our 2016 winner. I think that was Grayson Allen too. Kind of noticing a trend here. 2015 winner. That might have been Grayson Allen too. I'm not really sure. 2014. I don't think he won it in 2014 because I don't think he was at Duke yet. In fact, I think in 2014, we might have gave it to Tyus Jones or something. And I realize Tyus Jones isn't actually white, but he looks like Adam Carolla, so I think we gave it to him anyways. Anyway, winner of the Duke Award this year. I mean, who else? Yeah, Grayson Allen. Most hated white guy in college basketball. Not even close. So yes, he wins it. Got two more awards to hand out here. Next up, our Guy Lewis Award. We give it to the coach that is so loaded with talent, but he doesn't get things done because Guy Lewis, of course, coached that Houston Phi Slamma Jamma team that were loaded with NBA talent, and they never really won that much of anything. So who is our Guy Lewis Award winner this year? Yes, we could hand it out to John Calipari almost every year, but we're not going to do that. I hate to do this. I hate to hand this to a all-time great coach, but the Guy Lewis Award this year, it has to go to Mike Krzyzewski. Duke has five guys that might get drafted in the first round. I'm sorry, Coach K, you are the winner of the Guy Lewis Award this year. You couldn't beat Kansas. I don't know what you would have done if you'd have gotten past them. I don't think you'd have done much better. No way Duke should have gone out that early. They were the most talented team. Sorry, Coach K. You're a great coach and all, but you're getting the Guy Lewis Award this year. Finally, our final award of the year. We just started handing this out last year. But our final award that we're going to hand out in college basketball this year, we are going to hand out our Kardashian Award. We did hand it out last year. Our Kardashian Award goes to the most covered player or coach that probably isn't that deserving of it. And handing out this Kardashian Award this year, kind of an easy choice for me. Because I would give it to Arizona big man DeAndre Ayton. We keep hearing how DeAndre Ayton is the next Wilt Chamberlain. He is a future Hall of Famer. You just wait till he gets to the NBA. He is the next great big man in the NBA. Maybe all those things are true. Maybe they are. We'll see. I do think Ayton has a lot more game than obviously he showed, but he couldn't beat Buffalo? Yeah, you're definitely our Kardashian Award winner that we hand out to someone who is getting a lot of coverage, is getting a lot of talk, but never actually does anything worth covering. There are your Daily Dose College Basketball Awards from 2018. Hey, coming back, the college basketball season is now complete. In fact, we already have some Las Vegas odds on who's going to win it all next year. Who are the top teams returning? Never fear, we will let you know via our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. Just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/Daily Dose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. April's Loot Crate theme, it's called Artifacts, and it features items from Marvel Comics, Lord of the Rings, The Legend of Zelda, and The Dark Crystal. But if none of those franchises are interesting particularly to you, you might want to head over to Loot Crate because I'm telling you, they have just about any franchise you can think of over there. They've got all kinds of things that you're going to want too, from hoodies and shirts to shorts and socks, stuff for your pet, stuff for your desk, stuff for your car, stuff for your kitchen. Go over to Loot Crate. They have a ton of items to choose from. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure that you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. It's always nice to try to save a little bit of money because keep in mind, tax season is coming very, very quickly. Might want to save those pennies while you still have the chance. Okay, as we do every single Wednesday, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
You know, no sooner had the Villanova Wildcats won their title on Monday night than Las Vegas was releasing their odds for who is going to win the college basketball national championship in 2019. In fact, the Westgate Sportsbook in Vegas has installed the Duke Blue Devils as the favorites at 5-1 odds. That is ahead of the national champion Villanova Wildcats, despite the fact that Duke will basically lose its entire current team. Now, Vegas apparently feels like the incoming freshmen at Duke are better than anyone that we have returning next year in college hoops. It's a little bit crazy, isn't it? I mean, there are some very talented players returning next year, but hey, I guess Vegas is looking and saying, Coach K, with a new batch of one-and-done kind of players, that's going to be the best team in the entire country. Vegas likes them a whole lot. It's hard not to like Duke. It really is. they have what is probably the best recruiting class in the country coming there. But with all of that in mind, we are going to take a look and see what teams we would rank right now as the best teams returning in 2019. Here is our way too early Daily Dose Hump Day power rankings for college basketball next season. At number 5, we have the Virginia Cavaliers. Yes, I realize the Cavaliers are the first number 1 seed to lose to a 16. I understand that. But understand this, Virginia will return a ton of talent. They've got DeAndre Hunter, they've got Kyle Guy, and now Tony Bennett has some serious motivation to come out next year and make a deep run in the tournament. Here's the concern that I have for Virginia. Can they overcome what is basically the equivalent of being blown out in a Super Bowl? Because we've seen that. We've seen teams suffer from Super Bowl hangover. This team did something no one has done. How are they going to respond? Will it be a feel sorry for ourselves and limp through next season because they're loaded? They're going to be really, really talented. Or are they going to be on a mission to say, hey, we got beat by a 16. It wasn't our night. But this year, we're coming back with a vengeance. If that's the case, Virginia is going to be a team to contend with. Keep an eye on them. We have them at number 5. At number 4, the team that Las Vegas likes a lot more than I do just yet, we've got the Duke Blue Devils at number 4. I'm going to go ahead and take a wait-and-see approach with Duke going into next year. Yes, they have a very, very talented incoming class. RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson, and Cam Reddish, they are ranked 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in the recruiting class in 2018. Also, Duke is getting Trey Jones, the younger, more athletic brother of Tyus Jones. Here is my problem with Duke right now. We haven't even seen these guys on the court against any competition yet. And while Zion Williamson is a physical specimen, and I have seen him doing all kinds of dunks, I don't have any idea if the kid can actually play. All I've seen him do is dunk. So I'm going to go ahead and be patient with the Dukies. I'll put them in the top 5, but I'm not putting them in number 1. Not until I've actually seen them participate in some games. Then we can get an idea. Moving up to number 3, I'm going to put the Kentucky Wildcats. But here is one concern that I have putting them this high. Doesn't it seem like head coach John Calipari is underachieving every single year at Kentucky? I mean, honestly, just in this tournament, Kentucky was just in the same bracket. Think about this. They were in the bracket with Virginia, Arizona, Miami, Cincinnati, and Tennessee, all of whom got beat. Kentucky should be waltzing to the Final Four, right? So who comes out of that bracket? Kansas State. And yes, Kentucky's going to be loaded again in 2019. And yes, they'll probably choke to a much better coach team like they usually do. But we'll put Kentucky at number 3. At number 2, I've got to stick with current champs because the Villanova Wildcats, they're going to lose a lot in Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges. But there is a chance, and we've got to see what happens. There is a chance Villanova could return Amari Spellman, Phil Booth, Eric Paschal, and yes, Dante DiVincenzo. They could all be back. Now, is there a program in the country right now that seems to have a better atmosphere than what Jay Wright has going on at Villanova? If there is, I haven't seen it. His kids are buying in. They play hard. They play for each other. And that brand of basketball that Villanova is playing, it's tough. It's physical. But it also kind of has that nod to the modern, like, Golden State style. Nova could be a contender to actually repeat next year. So who could the number 1 be on our Daily Dose Power Rankings? Best college basketball team going into next season? I've got to go with the Kansas Jayhawks. Yes, the Jayhawks got bombed by Villanova in the Final Four, but make no mistake, they're going to be back and they're going to be very, very good. And we know they like win the Big 12 every single year, but they've got a great recruiting class coming back. Plus, they should return Malik Newman. They should return Udoka Azubuike. And Bill Self went out and got 2 Memphis transfers, KJ and Diedrich Lawson. The Jayhawks, we know, like I said, win the Big 12 every single year. They're going to be loaded for another big run next year. Got to keep an eye on the Kansas Jayhawks going into next season. I know there's going to be a lot of talk in the offseason about some of the things going on off the court in college basketball. But when you look at these five teams right here, there's also going to be a lot of very, very good stuff happening on the floor once we actually get to college basketball next season. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will, of course, be discussing the latest in sports news and see what new stories just might be coming out. And as usual on Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week coming out from the sports media. Yes, we have a number of those coming out this week. I'd say thank you so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you all for the emails, the texts, the tweets. If you would like to contact us, hit us up, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. Make sure that you don't miss a single episode of The Dose. Just click subscribe or follow wherever it is that you listen. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday.